American novelist, short story writer, poet, and war correspondent, probably best known for the Red Badge of Courage, Stephen Crane, who died at age 29, managed to produce work that assured him a permanent place in American literature. This selection from War is Kind is called Do Not Weep, Maiden, for War is Kind. Do not weep, maiden, for war is kind, because your lover threw wild hands toward the sky and the affrighted steed ran on alone. Do not weep, war is kind. Hoarse, booming drums of the regiment, little souls who thirst for fight, these men were born to drill and die. The unexplained glory flies above them. Great is the battle god, great, and his kingdom a field where a thousand corpses lie. Do not weep, babe, for war is kind. Because your father tumbled in the yellow trenches, raged at his breast, gulped and died. Do not weep. War is kind. Swift, blazing flag of the regiment, eagle with crest of red and gold, these men were born to drill and die. Point for them the virtue of slaughter. Make plain to them the excellence of killing, and a field where a thousand corpses lie. Mother, whose heart hung humble as a button on the bright, splendid shroud of your son, do not weep. War is kind. The youngest of 14 children, Stephen Crane lived a short but highly explosive life. He wrote about what simultaneously seemed to both attract and repel him. The violence of the streets and the victims it creates was the subject matter of his first novel, The Story of Maggie, A Girl of the Streets, a sympathetic story of an innocent girl from the slums and her descent into prostitution and eventual suicide. In 1893, this topic was so taboo in literature that it was privately printed, and Crane had to use a pseudonym. This was followed in 1895 by his classic story of the horror of war, The Red Badge of Courage. He wrote of his aversion to violence, his sympathy for victims and the downtrodden, yet he was equally attracted to report and to experience firsthand these outrages, and once settled with a former brothel house proprietor. Stephen Crane's career as a writer and a journalist covering wars whenever they cropped up on the planet was brief. He died at 29 of malarial fever and tuberculosis, contracted while in Cuba covering the Spanish-American War. For me, this poem of deep irony is not only a disparaging attack on war and all of its horror, but it stands as a classic statement against violence of any kind. Also included is the violence that we observe daily of man's inhumanity to man and the rage and fury within our own hearts. These are equally as destructive and are also the subject of the poet's lament against war. His ironic poem, War is Kind, is a commentary on all of what he termed those little souls who thirst for fight, who find virtue in something so horrifying as slaughter, and excellence in a field of a thousand corpses. For me, this is a lesson to look within myself for any remnant of a little soul who might find glory in the trumpeting of man's inhumanity to man. It is a reminder to allow my big soul to triumph over its lesser compatriot, and to suppress curiosity or fascination with violence of any kind. There are people who carry guns and leave maidens weeping all over the world, be it on battlefields or in our homes, schools, streets, and playgrounds. All seem to be men who were born to drill and die, yet we do not believe that anyone has such a destiny at birth. This carnage is the result of our own curiosity and fascination with warfare and killing, with violence and rage, so that we attract into our collective lives the very thing we fear the most. We live in a more subtle fashion the same kind of life as the poet Stephen Crane, attracting to ourselves that which repels us. Our fascination with violence and its ultimate implementation, killing, is reflected in our preoccupation with action films wherein human life is reduced in value so much so that the taking of these lives is considered to be entertainment. Killing for the sake of keeping the customers happy takes its toll on our collective consciousness, whether we recognize it or not. Yet there is much to weep about, and there is no shortage of tears. Maidens howl in anguish every hour of every day as loved ones fall victim to our almost insatiable attraction to war and unnecessary violence. We live in the most violent society on earth, where hundreds of thousands are killed and maimed yearly with barely a flicker of attention from our leaders chastising anyone on human rights. Recently, state officials from China were not to be granted full diplomatic recognition in an official visit because their country was being bitterly criticized for their stand on human rights. This seemed to me to be as ironic as Stephen Crane's poem, Do Not Weep, Maiden, for War is Kind. To make a huge dent in this kind of fascination with war, killing, and violence, we must first look within our own hearts and allow the big soul to triumph over those inclinations. We must find the place within ourselves where we know that in some non-Earth-based way, we are all connected by an invisible organizing intelligence, and we need to live in this awareness. We must refuse to participate in any form of activity which purports to be entertainment, which trivializes violence and killing. We must teach our young sons that they were not born to drill and die, not born to throw their hands toward the sky in some kind of ego ritual to dying in battle as a badge of courage. We must raise them to have disdain for violence and to learn to check the impulses of fury brought on by an over-identification with ego's need to be triumphant in battle. We must teach them and ourselves the value of cooperation over competition and to understand the great wisdom in the Native American homily, "No tree has branches so foolish as to fight among themselves." We must elect those who see the horror in having a world filled with weapons and live ammunition. They have to pursue at all costs, with true courage, the end of all weapons that are designed to kill, be it from mega-death nuclear bombs to low-caliber handguns. If they are meant to inflict death, we must find another way. And finally, we must look within our own hearts to quell our little soul's attraction to violence and instead find our fascination with kindness and love. All we need to do is be a little kinder toward each other. This was Aldous Huxley's answer when he was asked on his deathbed for his advice to mankind after a lifetime of study and exploration of the human spirit. Simple words with a simple solution. War is most assuredly not kind. Being kind is the solution, not only in the world as a collective whole, but in our individual lives where it all begins. To put this awareness of Stephen Crane's poem to work in your own life, begin to 1. Eliminate your personal participation in movie-going, television-watching, or reading, which promotes violence or reduces the value of human life by making killing and maltreatment any form of entertainment. 2. Teach young people to value kindness over killing. Talk to them about why you don't want them using play guns and weapons. Explain that they can change the world by choosing kindness over killing as a way to play. 3. Catch yourself when you feel violent impulses and have a quiet self-talk which allows you to reprogram yourself along the lines of kindness rather than rage. By recognizing rage when it crops up, you will allow the big soul to begin to tame the more base tendencies of the little soul. And 4. Support organizations which have as their mission the eradication of violence on our planet. There are many organizations, from the UN to local groups, who want to elect more kindness-oriented people to commissions and as government representatives. Choose at least one to give your support to.